Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community. That's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Mondays, come hang with our wild dove, Luyu, and nature and passion. Tuesdays, dig into the twisted thoughts of the Twisted Sisters. Early Wednesday, 1 p.m., check out our Brevity Show. And later on in the evening, turn up the heat with the Art of Seduction. Thursdays are split between Innocraft, the Sullen Art with Richard and Neutron, and Double Helix with Aphasiana and Dex. Friday, come fill my eyes with open poetry. And Saturday is split between Gray Eyes howling at the moon in the Canadian wilds, bringing you Bad Company, and Exploring Aphasia with Captain B2 and Dan. And if you're looking for a little more edgy around, then please check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Tuesday through Sunday mornings. So come take a walk on the wild side Tuesdays. Thursdays, join Jeremy as he brings you the Headliner's Ball. Friday, break on through with Pam. Saturday, join Aphasiana and Babbler as they teach you the fine art of being part sinner, part saint. And then every other Sunday, join Robert M. as he brings you the Solace of Shadows. Check out the contests and prompts for all of our shows. Call in to read your poems and hang for the fun. Hey, and if you do SoundClouds, please attach them to your poems so we can hear you read your own piece. How you doing, Gene? Oh, and one more thing. Hey, we're up to 10 on the 80 Pop podcast in the country.
Yes, we are. How you doing? I'm doing pretty good. It was a nice day today. Got all kinds of good stuff happening, and you made my day with the number 10 notification. And just so everybody else is aware, we also are hitting number 16 for our After Midnight podcast. So excellent job, hostesses, and all that participate in our shows. We really, we couldn't do it without you, and it tickles me to see that we're, like, moving on up that scale there. Excellent. Excellent. You know, this way everybody knows. Somebody's listening, and somebody thinks we're doing a good job, you know. But it's the poetry that gets us there, so that's wonderful. Wonderful. So how are you today, Rex?
I'm doing just good.
That's wonderful. Just wonderful. I have my grandsons in the background being noisy tonight. So I'm going to have to, like, probably mute myself and scream loudly in my house.
Or if you don't mute that one time, yo, shut up in the background. I can't hear myself think.
He's supposed to be in bed. But he's standing around at, like, he goes, but 10 o'clock.
It's them damn controllers. They're attached to his fingers.
Oh, I'm telling you. He is such a crystal. But, it's just all good stuff. But, yeah, so it was a good day, and the weather here was pretty decent. My grandson had baseball for the fall. An unusual thing. We've never had baseball available for him in fall. So he went today and did all right. I'll gear him up a little more towards the spring. And I see you have a nice board tonight. And it's been all over the place doing all kinds of little piddly things today. But I think I got a few things accomplished, which is important. And so tell us about the show tonight.
Well, it's a free-for-all, so we've got a little dip into just about everything. We got a little opera, we got a little violin, we've got a little piano, plus a varied mixture of 50s thoughts from one person, a double album mix from someone else, a note to David Bowie for the back end of the show, and, well, like the song we just heard, Fell on Black Days by Soundgarden. That was used by the first read we're going to do tonight from Flipsider. So we got nice variety.
Right. I didn't notice that. Oh, excuse me. I'm so sorry. Oh, yeah. I'm a little crazy today. It looks good. It does look like things are, you know, you got a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You have some names I've never seen before, which I think is wonderful. And it's always fun to have new names and new voices. You know, either poetic or, you know, actual voices, either way is beautiful. You know, no two of us write the same and no two of us speak the same. So it's kind of fun to see it like that, you know. But, yeah, so, so it's good stuff. I can't wait. So let me think now. Anything else? Nothing else real exciting. Just trying to make sure I do, you know, all the fun stuff. I don't know. I'm going to try and be a good kid tonight and stay on the ball. I don't know how far that'll get me, but I'll give it a whirl. You know, absolutely. So, yeah. Don't know, Mr. Rex, don't know. But we can, I don't know, I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Is anything else exciting going on? I don't know. I don't know as much. We, we're coming up one to October, so we don't have much to talk about until October. And then we'll.
Yes. Those plans are going on pretty good.
Yeah. October will be fun. It always is. So right now we're still in September and the weather's changing and the kids are in school and just all kinds of good stuff. So yep. That's it for me. So you just tell me when you're ready to start or if you want to start a conversation, we can go wherever you want to go.
Let's go and kick it off with Flipsider. So we've still got that song hanging in our minds.
Flipsider. What's on that? Don't do that to me.
That's his name, Flipsider.
Where is it? Oh, God.
He would be about two-thirds of the way down.
Two-thirds of
the way
down.
No, hang on a second. I'll grab it.
Okay. Oh, Flipsider. I got it. I thought you said slip slider, and I'm like, what is he talking about? Oh, my God. Well, so much for me holding it together tonight. Already lost it. Whenever you're ready.
All right. This is Don't Mind the Change by Flipsider. Praying for death, but wishing for more. Demonic of self-hate, moving in stealth. As self-disgust opens the door. Would rather be the one allowed to fly. Yet, you chained me down. You tried holding me back, hoping I'd choose to die. Tearing off the chains now to which you have bound, had me bound. Believe the lies or die for the truth. Alive or dead, your choice is now made. Either way, my story will be based on what I choose. My ending will be to go on rather than just fade away. End poem.
Wow. Interesting. Right, for sure. And that was written to the intro, correct?
Yes, Fell on Black Day.
Okay, that's what I thought. Interesting. Great piece, nicely written. It's got a nice darker undertone to it. I like how he kind of takes it back in the end. My ending will be to go on rather than just fade away. I'm going to do it on my terms. And that's kind of, a good note to end this piece on. You know, praying for death but wishing for more, demonic of self-hate, moving in stealth with self-disgust opens the door. Dark thoughts, and an expression of dark thoughts is really well done here. you know, and how you bound me down, you know, and chained me down, and, you know, that I'm tearing off the chains that bound, you know, which you had me bound. I think that was another positive note at the end of that. So I think that, yeah, excellent piece. Excellent piece, Switzletter. Really well done. I'm sorry, I thought you said Switzletter. That's so funny. Yeah, nice work. Thanks for sharing with us.
Thank you, Gene. It does start off a little dark. That opening stanza, praying for death but wishing for more, demonic of self-hate moving in stealth as self-disgust opens the door. There's a note to depression or heaviness in the mind that drives one to do things that you don't want them to do. And then that opening up in that second stanza, you'd rather be the one allowed to fly. And then the notation, yes, you chained me down. So there is that note, whether it's the depression itself or somebody physically holding someone back from doing what they can with their life, with their music, whatever it relates to. And then the back end, believe the lies that die the truth. There is that note of you can walk within those shoes and believe the lies they tell of you, or you can die for the truth. Then the choice is alive or dead, your choice is now made. So you can kind of come out of that funk to the back end where either way, my story will be based on what I choose. The note of confidence ring in that note, I choose. My ending will be to go on rather than just fade away. Hey, I'm not just going to go quietly into that good night just because you think I should or this industry thinks I should. I'm released myself from your chains, and I'm going to fly my own way.
Yeah.
Nicely done, Cliff.
Yep. Okay, give me 2 seconds, because I'm going to try and put in these last two little, maybe three little. Okay, got it. Okay. Sorry. Okay.
Watch it.
Well, we started there. So.
Well, here, I got the second one for you.
Okay.
Rock Islands by Damn It Dave. That was for you.
I like Damn It Dave, but let me see what I can do here. Hopefully I won't trip over. Here we go. My Rock Idols by Damn It Dave. Meatloaf performed the soundtrack of my life. He stayed around much longer than my wife. And even now, when I'm in the mood, his music helps to change my attitude. Pat Benatar has similar effects, but she looks so much better than latex. Heartbreaker had me hooked at age 15. She gets me going better than caffeine. There are some other rockers that I prize, but Meat and Pat are ones I idolize. Though Meat's no longer here with us today, his impact on my life is here to stay. And his poem. Nice job,
great,
Dave.
Great team. Yeah, it hits on a, because when Meatloaf came out, boy, that was one voice nobody was expecting, even though we got to see him Rocky Horror when that first album came out, what was it, 78? And you got to hear the full range of his vocals. Boy, did he blow people away. So that hits a nice note right there. And that note, those double notation to humor, he stayed around much longer than my wife. Nice touch.
right.
And still, when he needed a mood changer, all you had to do was put on a little Meatloaf and just chill out to the voice and the music itself. And then again, he hits that again. I like that thought with she looks better in latex. Nice touch there. And Heartbreaker had me hooked at 15. She gets me going better than caffeine. Again, another little tidbit of humor rolled in. And that sort of gets me going better than caffeine. There's a double little nuanced touch with that. Nicely done. And the last two lines for the next ringing note, too. So well done, Dave. Thank you very much. All right, Gene, what you think?
Yeah, I love that. That was good. I'm going to have you read Pee Wee.
She does.
And pop that link. And come on now. Don't be difficult. There we go. Okay, right. Jeez. One of them days I can see it.
Lost Tomorrow Today by Pee Wee Kyuson. In misery's morose madness, I wander through these halls, searching for a ghost of something that was never anything at all. Light no longer finds a path. It knows it will never make its way within the savior of the temple of the saint of lost tomorrows today. Pieces keep coming undone. There's nothing left to see here inside where I traded my tomorrows for yesterday's fear. And I wander, and I wonder why all the seeds I have sown planted my orchard of demise quite nearly now full grown. Makes sunshine always dissipate. It knows that it won't find a way to the savior of the temple of the saint of lost tomorrows today. Holding you where a heart once was, as now it has all turned gray, lack of daylight sapped the color these hands and my face. In time, I think you'll come to see what it was and what you mean. I told you before, somewhere in a life so far away, it may be a dream. And though my time is ending now, I gladly welcome it coming to stay for the savior of the temple of the saint of lost tomorrows today. End poem.
Nice.
Nicely done there, Pee-wee. Yep, and he had inspiration to Greg Allman's Laid Back and Government Mule, Last Before Insanity. A mishmash of those two albums rolled into one. A double whammy effect.
Yes, it was a great write. Great write and a really good read there, Rex. Really nicely done. I like the fact it had a good rhyme and a scheme to it. You know, it just flowed nicely. I kind of like how he led into this. In misery's morose madness, I wander through these halls, searching for a ghost of something that was never anything at all. There was a catchy way to start this, because it did pull you in and like, well, where's he going with this? You know, because I like that play on the thought in the end that was never anything at all. You know, pieces keep coming undone. There's nothing left to see here. Inside where I traded my tomorrow for yesterday's fear. I think that it was really well expressed completely. You know, I had a lot of emotions running through it, and I think that it was excellent work. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, I could read another stanza. I think they were all really well done. And I think it was it was well put together. Let's put it that way. It was well constructed. And I enjoyed it.
Thank you very much, Jean. There was a couple of things I liked about this. The float of some of the language, and if you didn't pay attention, you missed the stop, so to speak, and where you can drop in like that first line, in misery's morose madness, I wandered through these halls. I did that a couple of times, which I liked. It kind of made you think about where you were going, what was coming next. So that hit the right note. And the savior of the temple of the saint of lost tomorrows today. And it hits on those angles. You spend so much time working on tomorrow, then you don't actually give good credence to today, and you lose those things in the meantime. They kind of slip away from you, and that's kind of what he's sitting on here, and the darkness comes from pushing forth hard and not realizing that which he's leaving behind in the meantime because of those tomorrows. And I wander and wonder why all the seeds I've sown planted my orchard of demise quite nearly now fully grown. So he's hitting on the idea of his trek through life, and then that makes sunshine always dissipate. It knows that it won't find a way to the savior of the temple of the saint of lost tomorrows today. There's kind of a nice little melancholy touch to that, and then the back end, and though my time is ending now, I gladly welcome it coming to stay for the Savior of the Temple of the Saints of Beth Shemar today. Again, that note, almost a welcome interlude on the back end of life, so to speak. I like that. Nicely done, Pee Wee. Thank you.
Okay, now, yes, that was very, very, very good. Okay, now I'm a little, I'm not real sure where I'm supposed to, like, what I'm supposed to be doing here, but I'm going to try it.
Let's do,
I'm bouncing
play,
I'm trying to,
play that one for, that starts, Selena's, the one she used.
Okay, let me do that. Because if I go screw it up, I'll be in trouble. Well, not with you, but you know what I mean. Oh, sunny, okay. Okay, got it. So here we go.
Different.
Absolutely. Great choice of music, Selena. Very much enjoyed hearing that. So, since that was the inspiration, I guess I should play that poem now, huh? What do you think?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, let me pull the link. And this is called Ode to Dimitri by Selena. Got that link here. And let me hit the button.
Music is my passion. I love all genres, but opera is my heart. I have chosen to write an ode to my favorite singer of all time, world-acclaimed and beloved Dmitri Khvorostovsky, who tragically passed away in London, where he lived, in 2015 from a brain tumor. Valiantly performing up until the end of his days, his voice was phenomenal in range and beauty of tone. His charisma, too, endeared him to so many, always giving his flowers to ladies of the orchestra. The opera world lost a giant, and his legacy lives on in all opera lovers' hearts. R.I.P. Dima, and thank you for the music. Poem. Your voice is a balm to an aching heart, a salve to the harsh, weeping wounds of life. It is an angel's murmur to those in pain. It caresses the soul with rich resonance, and woes and sorrows dissolve in its mellow tones. Its passion causes the spirit to leap with joy, exulting in the mellifluous rapture. Each hypnotic note floats through the air like a warm breeze, carrying with it all the weariness and strife, like dancing leaves. When you sing, all the darkness melts away. Bathed in healing light, all scars begin to fade. When despair attacks, your music is my armor, shielding against the foe. When all seems lost, I reach for you, and all is found once more.
Greatly, Selena, and thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. All right, Gene, what do you think?
Well, what do I think? You want me to think, too? Oh,
absolutely.
I thought this was an excellent tribute piece. I think that Selena's words spoke so kindly of this man whose voice she admired. I think it was a beautiful, beautiful job here. Oh, my man, I'm always stretching for things. I think that there was a lot said here, and I think that the fact that your voice is a balm to an aching heart, a salve to the harsh, weeping wounds of life. That's wonderful. We all know that music does affect us all as individuals, you know, in different ways. But the fact that these words are just so beautifully expressive towards him and his work, and I think it was just beautiful. So excellent job, Selena, and thank you so much for sharing with us. This is, I had never heard of him before. It's not unusual for me. And I think that, I love the song that inspired it, but I think that her words of him were really almost as wonderful as his singing. That makes sense. So, I think it does. Great job. And thank you, Selena. Excellent. Excellent, excellent.
Yes, absolutely right. You're right. It was a nice tribute piece, but it goes a lot deeper than that. It does speak to what music, it doesn't matter what music it is, what music itself does for those who need it for something uplifting, and it as she hit, a balm to an aching heart, a salve to the harsh, weeping wounds of life. And then there's another nice touch of note. Each hypnotic floats through the air like a warm breeze, carrying with it all the weariness and strife like dancing leaves. There is that note of if you sit and get into the music as that which, and the voice that comes out of it, it is what it is, that healing balm, that note that can take us out of the doldrums and bring new life back to a weary mind in the moment, or an aching heart, or whatever else it might be. There's music that fit all moods and reinvigorate the listener. All they have to do is put it on and let it do its magic. And that's the idea with what this says as a whole piece. Nicely done, Stelina. To you. Jean, you're mutating.
Yes, I am. Do me a favor. I'm going to put up a piece. I'm not sure where to go because I'm all screwed up here. But I want to put up a piece by Bell Schiller. I'm sorry. I have someone on the line that I have to, I don't know.
Well, I'm going to grab the next piece.
Okay, well, if you want to do it, that's fine. I appreciate it. I'm just not sure. I'm a little off kilter on where I'm supposed to go next. I'm trying not to screw up.
No problem. I get it.
Here. Oh. Okay, sorry.
All will do. Ah, here we go. Take one by Bill Schiller. And come back. This one kind of is a nice, at least the title starts off the same way as Stelina. The Sounds of My Soul by Bill Schiller.
Nice.
I could spend years within astral reach's gripping hand of Van Morrison in a slipstream of viaducts and lost dreams, leading a caravan of glad tidings from New York. When the wild, wild nights are cut too short, I'll revel with George Harrison and Coming of the Sun. So few other musicians can thwart my soul with such hope. Give me love. Give me love. Give me peace on earth. George Harrison and Van Morrison have me cognizant of its worth. And for a melody mixed with philosophy, I keep Bob Dylan next to me. Bob Dylan's voice is an acquired taste, but his lyrics never go to waste. Pink Floyd leaves me emotionally slaughtered. It prompts me to shout at the world with Roger Waters. Then up, two, three, arch. Let me march with Sergeant Pepper and the other Lonely Hearts. When riding in a yellow stub or when fixing a hole in the door, I'll still love the Beatles when I'm 64. Yet my ears also consistently fall for David Byrne and heads that talk, while Strap and his Danube would have me waltz all night in a trance. Mick Jagger and Rolling Rock make me want to get up and strut my ass and poem. There you go, Jean.
Well, I think that this was an excellent piece, and I thought that it tips its hat nicely. There's so many wonderful artists in here. You know, I liked how it started out with you know, Van Morrison and George Harrison, and, you know, then it goes into Bob Dylan and Pink Floyd and Roger Waters. I think that it just really, he touched on so much, and I think that he really didn't, yeah, the Beatles down here, your Sgt. Pepper. I don't know. I just think it was great, and I think that it was really well pulled together, and, yeah, just wonderful. You know, you got Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones. I mean, he really hit on quite a few, and I think he did just an excellent job with that. So nice work, Bill Schiller. Well done.
Yeah. See, my ending note to Stelina's walk right into this one. It kind of plays off the same, The Sounds of My Soul, except Bill hit on every that walks within his wheelhouse. The thought of Van Morrison and Harrison, yes. The Beatles, too. Bob Dylan, Roger Waters, Pink Floyd. The Beatles, and I like the thought, the mix down here, David Byrne and Headset Talk, the referring to talking heads. But that also offers up Stas and his Danube, which would have him walk all night long. And then to finish out with Jagger and the Stones made me want to get up and strut my ass. So there's a toast to a whole lot of music and what they do. I mean, you think of a slipstream of viaducts and lost dreams, like leading a caravan of glad tidings in New York when the wild, wild acts are cut too short. I'll revel with George Harrison at coming of the sun. It is no to Here Comes the Sun. Great thought there. And that angle of, hey, yeah, Bob Dylan's voice is a very acquired taste, but the lyrics that come out of that guy and the philosophy mixed in does offer up a touch of grace beyond the voice itself. And what Pink Floyd does, emotionally exploring him, makes him want to get up and shout with Roger Waters. Some great tunes from Floyd. We haven't gotten into Pink Floyd yet. That's coming down somewhere down the road. And I do like his mixture and what he gets into, the suits and mood that he's in that brings him to where he wants to be peacefully. Nicely done, Bill.
All right. Very well done. Okay. Well, the fellow who was on the line, oh, he's back. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to pick it up. This is area code 239. Hello, 239. Who's calling, please?
Hello, can you hear me? Yeah,
I
was afraid
you,
we got cut off.
I had to put you on hold because I'm trying to run the phones and part of the show. So,
No, that's all right. I just want to make sure. I thought we got disconnected. That's fine.
No. And your name?
Oh, this is Bill Schiller.
Hi, Bill.
Hi. You know, if you'll just indulge me real quick, I'll make it fast. I wanted to tell you that I've listened to several of your programs and I've been doing it more frequently. And I really, on behalf of a lot of people, want to tell you how awesome it is, the time and energy that you, Pam Ray, and Timidus Rex put in to help bring exposure to writers and helping to keep people mindful of the written word. I want you to know your work isn't lost on a lot of us.
Oh, that's a wonderful thought there, Bill. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. That's one. Lex was reading your piece while I had you in the green room. He went to do it, and you were gone, and I was like, oh, okay. And I figured, I felt bad putting you on hold, but sometimes I have to. Rex wonders where the heck I get to. He thinks I run out and get a drink or something. He thinks I drink a lot. I'm just kidding.
Well, I was raised in Kentucky where, you know, we love our bourbon.
Yeah.
There you go.
Nothing quite like the flavored notes of bourbon, a good bourbon.
Absolutely.
Bill, that was a wonderful piece.
Yes.
Well,
yes,
some years ago, one of my publishing credits is a nonfiction book of history called The Evolution of the Bourbon Whiskey Industry in Kentucky. It contains a synopsis of history on every distillery that ever existed in Kentucky.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
That sounds like a book worth sipping some good bourbon to while reading.
Well, for that project, I worked with the master distiller from Maker's Mark.
Oh, nice. You got this skinny on the inside.
Well, I got to tell you, I was a lot younger then, and I'm an old man now, and I haven't had... A long time ago, I just decided people like me don't need to drink. So I've been sober for more than 10 years, and that means not a shot of bourbon, not a drink of beer, not even a sip of wine, which my wife really loves. And that's just the fact of that.
Selena says in the room.
I'm sorry, Jean.
That's okay.
I might add one more thing and a little expression of gratitude. I told you about the bourbon book, but actually I have about 100 other books out there. And for all the things that I've had to write over the years, and so much of that is under contract that involves having to take on projects that other people want more so than me. And it wasn't until this particular challenge that the two of you offered that involved songs, the music that we enjoy, I was drawn to that because it occurred to me it was the first time anyone ever requested something that spoke to music that I loved. And I had to struggle to think of everybody that I would include in a writing in case it ever came to a point, well, this is the kind of music Bill Schiller listens to. And I grieved afterward that I left out so many good names like Neil Young and others. But I got some of my main favorites in there, and I was glad you gave an opportunity to prompt some thoughts along those lines. Because,
we're more than happy to do so. And Bill, keep your eyes open because there'll be more music in there that speaks to your heart, which you can pen to. So we'll look forward to seeing you more.
Well,
absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very
nice
welcome.
Words. Really nice words to hear. Will you be hanging out with us for a while, Bill, or do you have to go?
I'm here for as long as you allow, or if you want me to go away and just fade away, I'll do it. You're the boss. I'll do whatever you want.
We're pleased to have you on board.
Absolutely. You can see the room, right? So you'll be able to read the poems along with us?
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. I'm going to read the next one. Can you see the board, Bill, so you can read along with us?
Sure, I'm happy to read. Tell me what to do, and I'll comply. I'm real good at following orders.
That's
pretty much
fair.
All I do these days.
Okay. He's a married man, right? Only kidding.
Well, I had a little medical situation a couple of years ago, so it just seems everybody these days tells me where to go, what medicine to take, what I can wear, how I'm supposed to stand, where I'm, why I'm not allowed to go there.
Oh, God. Well,
I'm pretty much a prisoner in my home, I think.
Oh, God. Wow.
Well, we're going to here.
Absolutely. Okay, I'm going to read the next one by Layla, and then I'll put one up for you, Bill. So let me get this one up and then we'll work with you.
Is there one you want me to look over, Pam?
Well, I'm Phil, but I'm gonna give you the next one to read. Let me see what I have.
Oh, Phil, I'm sorry. Okay, my bad.
I think I'm going to give you Pianoforte by Gil Brazil, but right now I'm going to read the one by Layla.
Oh, Phil.
Give me a second.
Okay.
Okay, this is Not Enough, My Dear, Not Enough, Madonna. The Greedy Greedy. Layla. No, she's not. Bill, do you have your radio on? Are you playing the radio on your computer?
Yeah.
Can I ask you to turn that down or off? Because it's given a lot of effort. Okay. And this one starts out. No, she's not like. Okay. Okay. Bill, I had to put you on hold, so forgive me. No, she's not like that. Money isn't important to her. She's her pocket's full of it. And the public doesn't bother her too much. She'd like to get rid of it, but the kids are looking for felt-tip pens and Nike sneakers. Maybe she could adopt the young Roman Lucius Verinus, according to Lester Romanian. Romanum? Oh, my gosh. Let me try that line again. Maybe she could adopt the young Roman Lucius Verinus, according to the Les Romanum, and keep him as a slave. Not enough, my dear, not enough. To celebrate, Madonna asked for money to perform at the Vatican. She always has a rude and arrogant, powerful and masculine ideal lover, Mark the Blizz Antonia. Madonna will never fail to charm and kidnap all Jennifer Lopez Blitzes. That's why they don't speak to each other. My dear, enough isn't enough. The video links of Sonic Syndicate are always sent first by Madonna. The videos in her flames are always sent to Madonna first. Madonna is insensitive to good-looking men. Madonna always gets invited to the NFL finals and Paris fashion shows. I don't think it's enough, my dear. I think it's not enough. The treasures of her realm run deeper than all the emissaries, necromancers, and precursors of parallel universes she claims to speak of. No, my dear, not enough. Merchants, swindlers, cuckoos, sleazy poltroons, Your Highness, we pay much more, but the crisis, the inflation, the wars, and the dearness have made the rabble lazy. The slaves slowly rise up watching games instead of doing something. My dear, this isn't enough. Oh, that greedy, greedy Madonna. And Paula.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. And Bill, what do you think of that piece? Bill, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just digesting it all. Take me a moment to process my thoughts. From you.
I'll go first. I think the title kind of hits the note starting up. The greedy, greedy, and not enough. Because she popped that in quite a number of times. Not enough, my dear, not enough. My dear, enough isn't enough. And no, my dear, not enough. And then finally, my dear, this isn't enough. Oh, that greedy, greedy Madonna. And it hits on the note of how some people with the status that they have are placated more than others, and they get away with ask for money to perform at the Vatican. That is kind of a droll note. I mean, that's supposed to be a once-in-a-lifetime sort of going to the Vatican and actually getting an audience, so to speak, but to ask for money to perform there is a little bit greedy. And she hits on that sort of we'll never fail to charm and kidnap all Jennifer Lopez blitzes. That's why they don't speak to each other. It always seems that she's at the NFL finals and Paris fashion shows. She gets the first shot of all those glorious spaces before anybody else does. So it does kind of hit on the note of how some people can be so greedy that they think the world owes them something more, and it's never enough. The idea of how some of the stars of yesteryear are now putting out, hey, you want to come to my concert? $2,000 a ticket. Again, that sort of never enough. More is more, and my pockets aren't nearly full enough, so to speak. That's what I get out of what Layla's offering up here, is that some people are too bloody good for their own good, and especially our good. All right, Jean, you got to read that. What about you?
Well, I put in here, LOL, tell us how you really feel. I had to laugh. I was just playing around. It was a nicely penned piece and well expressed.
Yeah.
So I thank Layla for sharing.
I kind of like the story behind this. and the idea of the rant, and the fact that you don't have to read in between the lines as to her thoughts and feelings on these subjects. It's really clear the mood and the tone and attitude is behind this writing, which is really nice for people like me who don't want to have to try and figure out obscurity and abstraction. Sometimes it's nice when it's clear and you can readily know what the feelings are here. But at the same time, if I was going to comment on anything, and again, I always tell people my opinions don't even amount to a hill of beans at the end of the day. I'm not commenting on what was written. I'm just going to notice something about the structure of the writing. And I know that there's a lot of people, I'm not alone, who generally prefer for each line to stand on its own with its own meaning and reference context. But rather than bleed over into the following line where you have to read the next sentence for the thought to be completed. Now, that's not a big deal to some people, but others really prefer for each line to represent itself and not bleed over into the next. It makes for a more challenging and harder bit of writing, I think. But one of the benefits of it is it really focuses you, one, to concentrate on the sparsity of words to convey what was intended to be conveyed, and forces you to edit off unnecessary words. Sometimes it makes for a better structure. That's my point. I mean, I like the message. As I'm looking at this poem now on the screen, I just, you know, the only thing I see for my taste is the structural elements of the lines.
Right.
Excellent work there, Bill. Thank you very much. All right. Where did you like to go next?
Okie dokie.
And why does Madonna have to be greedy? Can't Madonna be ambitious or hungry or determined?
I guess it goes to a point of perspective.
Okay, kids, the next piece I'm going to put up, I'm going to ask Bill to read, and it's called Pianoforte by Joe Brazo.
I'm going to pull it up right now.
Okay, I just put it in the room.
Okay, I have it now. I'm ready.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, this is Pianoforte. First, I heard a piano, 1968, age 6. No record player at home. Mom took me to the neighbor. Placed the needle on the spinning black disc. The sounds instantly carried me to another planet, a realm where time is non-existent. Very few people all love one another. Fairness, equality, and joy are valued. My surroundings of kitsch and tack in a Midwestern mid-century shack. In the woods, flooded and coursed, through my vessels like a freight train high on a rickety trestle, speeding into a dark, unknown tunnel, but with solid feet and firm grip as I run, the piano pushing me on and telling me it's the right way to go. It's called home. Chopin, Beethoven, Mozart. I should have said Chopin, Beethoven, Mozart, Liszt. A few of my favorites, just the tips of the musical. Just the tips of the musical sheets and books dotted and dashed within five-line stanzas. A new language, indeed. Once learned to read, you can never unlearn or forget. It doesn't come easy. Practice and try every day. As the hours go by, melt away.
Excellent. Great read there, Bill. Thank you very much. All right, Gene, why don't we start with you?
I'm sorry, I messed up a few of those words. My apologies to Joe Brazo. But excellent poem, and just as I was mentioning a few minutes ago, I really like the way he structured this with each line standing on its own and tells a bit of the story. I like stories as well, and we really were able to follow him from his early fascination with piano music and on to the great composers. And it also speaks to not just what they did, but how it made him feel. I really think Joe did an incredible job with this.
Excellent. Thank you for the read, Bill, and the comment. All right, Gene, what do you think?
I think that this was an excellent write. I love the tale that he told here. You know, the music and how Chopin and Beethoven and Mozart and Liszt, you know, just two of his favorites, the tips of music and sheets and books dotted and dashed within five-line stanzas. He's got this here. It's something he's familiar with, something that he enjoys, something that he learns. And, you know, I put here, you know, I love the tale he told, but what a wonderful gift it is to be musically gifted. You know, I mean, it's not easy. It doesn't just, like, you don't just close your eyes and there it is. You have to work at it. But some of us folks, we would love to be at least a little bit gifted. You know, I'd like to be able to pull off a little bit. I played a little piano when I was young, very young. But I was never going to, you know.
I think that's kind of an interesting context, too, that he included. Because early on, he kind of referred to his home as this very simple, you know, shack. No stereo, so you definitely get the idea this is not, you know, that the few things the family has are, mean a lot in this case. For him, it was the music. And then he it was almost as if by, like, the stanza before the last, he talks about how the music, you know, coursed through his soul like a freight train on a rickety trestle.
Yes.
But then he goes on to acknowledge the piano is what pushed him the right way to go. And he knew that the right way to go was home, because home is where that music existed. That music that was his favorite was in this place that it seems very simple at first and poor, but then he's focusing how it was enriched by the sound of this music, and how his recognition of that music or his passion for that music transformed that space into something great that is not just a house where you exist, but it's a home. It's a home that's helped made a home because it's possessed by his favorite musicians. I think that's a very touching sentiment that almost gets lost in the focus on the music. You know, it's the other thing is how this impacted his living space and his experience growing up. There's such a poignant sincerity, and that's very touching in the way that message is conveyed.
Excellent. Thank you, Bill.
wonderful movie. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm going to run with a lot of the same with what Bill said, but he does hit in his AN. At age 6, sat down and played Happy Birthday to my older brother on the piano. My aunt paid for the next 10 years piano lessons. Every Saturday, I hitchhiked into town for my lessons, then hitched back home. This was not considered unusual. They lived in a small town. It hits on that note, as Bill pointed out. My surroundings of kitsch and tack in a Midwestern mid-century shack. The thought Midwest, Kansas, Nebraska, one of those states right in there, and the thought of a mid-century shack, an older home, and the thought of kitsch and tack also hits on that note of kitchen was one of the most places you spent in the house, and the tack angle kind of has me thinking of the fact that they might have also had horses. Considering a tack is something is referred to as what you outfit a horse with, the tack, the bridle, the rein, saddle, and all that. So this is very much centered within, as Bill said, his easy, maybe humble birth in the surroundings, and the fact that the music hit him like a freight train high on a rickety trestle, speeding into a dark, unknown tunnel, but with solid feet and firm grip as I run. So there's that note of the piano pushing him onwards. And that last stanza with the sort of Chopin, Beethoven, Mozart list, a few of his favorites. And then the note of the five-line stanza with dots and dash. There's that note of learning to read music, which isn't easy. But once you've done it, you can't unlearn it. And the back end of this is always that note: if you don't practice, you don't get better at what you do and love. So you're right, Bill. This was a wonderful piece conveying everything that that he enjoys. All right, Gene. We're back on you.
Okay.
His family is still. Nearby, I think Joe would do well to share this writing with his aunt and the other people in his life that supported his passion for music.
I'm sure he has. I'm guessing that this is something that he's proud of, considering his humble background.
Absolutely.
And it may be something of a generalization, which I hate to make, but I think in another sense, this also speaks to a possible truth with a lot of poets. I was just this afternoon, I was having a conversation with someone who was trying to tell me the nature of poetry, which is like trying to explain the concept of love to a two-year-old. And as we had this conversation, it occurred to me that many people who are poets and followers of poetry become adept at not only finding poetry in language of words, but they find it in music and art and simple things like where they live and just basic things where a lot of people might take for granted and not recognize it as poetry, because poetry really is so much more than writing words down on paper.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
Absolutely.
All right. Where shall we go next?
Okay, Rex, I have this next one for you. I'm put up by Scraps and Scribbles. Are we still going to play those other two audios I have, or are we going to leave them go?
Let's see how we go for now.
Okay. Okay, this is called Lazy Afternoon by Scraps and Scribbles. So whenever you're ready.
Lazy Afternoon by Scraps and Scribbles. A gentle guitar captures sun rays and passes them back as a deeper, cooler warmth. She strums her little heart, vibrating on each softly tremor chord. I think that very rhythm echoes in her chest. Her blood's a song, that must escape, or siphon excess joy upon her voice. Her voice is the shade beneath a cherry tree. It's this blossom sound that becomes the current which drifts me down the street. Coffee smells and pastries, dancing leaves and shadow, and the upside-down blue of eternal sky are all the proof that I'm alive. Take out latte, cheese and pickle, on soft brown clouds of bread, and me on sun-warmed wooden bench. She's still singing, mingling her beautiful soul with this untroubled day. Reclined, stretched spine, brand new poetry hardback, open, smell, stretched smile. Curse the pickle that found its way onto a pristine page. Lick fingers, try again. Now my feet are buried in pigeons, my mind in poems, and my body in the embrace of a sky the color of a singer's eyes. The air I breathe, saturated with her voice, strings her soul. I will stay here until the orange makes love to the azure, marking each hour with a cigarette. Then I'll buy her a coffee and poem. Gene, why don't we start with you? What'd you think?
Excellent piece. Wonderful imagery throughout this whole piece. A lot of relatable imagery as well. You know, when she gets to the coffee smells and pastries and all this, it's something everyone can really relate to, and I love that. I thought it was a wonderful tale told all the way through. And the stanza, each stanza was really wonderful in its own way. I love this one. She's still singing, mingling her beautiful soul with this untroubled day. Reclined, stretched spine, brand new, poetry hardback, open, smell, stretched spine, cursed the pickle that found its way onto the pristine page. Lick fingers, try again. I just love that for some reason, you know, the way she just set the scene in that. And she set the scene on everything, but it was very, very, very well done. I say she, but it's not. I don't know. Sorry, Scraps, I'm not sure. So wonderful work. Really, really wonderful work. Much enjoyed.
Excellent. Thank you, Gene. And Bill, how about you?
Really resonates with me. I was a guitarist for years. I learned on an old Gibson, and I'm sitting next to an old Washburn guitar right now. I like, this guitar she describes and what it's capable of is just magical. I love how she compares it with, she says the voice of this instrument is the shade beneath the cherry tree, which, I also understand that because that's quite a comforting place to be, a very sweet spot to be under the cherry tree in the shade. And yes, the visuals in here are wonderful. I can actually picture that street, coffee smells and pastries, dancing leaves of shadow, and the upside-down blue of eternal sky. For just a moment there, I thought I was in La Jolla.
I get the drift of what you're saying with it. It does hit on that note of something she does, goes downtown, maybe a small town, goes to the park, and you've got this girl busking. She's out there playing her guitar and singing. Looking for those donations, and this is something you do. You've got her. She's got the book. She's got a sort of a coffee and a cheese and pickle, and sit down to open up the book and listen to the music. Something which is a nice backdrop to the hustle and bustle of daily life, when you can actually go out and find this little piece of joy to enjoy and.
Not to challenge that, but I'm just going to go back to something you said a moment ago when she's playing and looking for a donation you mentioned. But I'm saying, but I guess the point I want to make is She's not sitting there playing looking for a donation. She's just like so many of us writers that when we start off, we don't want donations. We're really hoping for compensation. It's compensation that we're hoping to get. And there's a difference, you know what I mean?
For buskers, they don't usually put out a hat or something. It's usually their guitar case or whatever that they leave over.
Yeah.
For anybody that wants to throw a little something in for thanks. That's what I do. But this comes out as one of those little arenas that you come across, which you thoroughly enjoy to sit down and bask within somebody having fun playing and singing in the moment while you enjoy a cup of coffee, cheese and a pickle, and a book of poetry, just to because they match both ends. The music is
for everybody listening to this program. I will only encourage tip the street musicians, compensate them for their talent and energy.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Bill.
Especially now when there's so many people in this country trying to drown out everybody's voice with political nonsense. So the idea of that person who's out there singing music in the midst of all the division that's plaguing us, yes, we need those people. We need the music. We need the art. We need the poets.
I couldn't agree more. All right, James, where would you like to go next?
Okay, well, the next one I'm going to read is called, and well, maybe I'll read it. It's called To the Old Masters by Majorcri. Here we go. Gently ringing, beloved sound, tell me joy already, how I felt you in my heart that is stirred quietly in longing. If you sound, everything stays still. The lively life seems far away. Give me your comforting blessing. Mighty, you fill room and hall. Lovingly, you wall in my chamber. Sing of love, comfort, and sorrow. You awaken a deep longing in me after the times far away, like a magical flower. Heinrich's consolation and way alone, wash me clean of the pain. All my longing be your reward. For all of us, the dream wakes up. Oh, but no one gives you space in the wild rush of life, where so seldom do you set foot. Softly sound beloved tone, telling me of delights already, as I sense you in my heart, that it stirred silently in my longing. When you sound, all remains quiet. The busy life seems far from me. You give me your solemn blessing. Powerfully you fill saloon and hall. Lovingly down floats through the chain, singing of love, solace, and woe. Awakening in me a deep longing for the times far away, like the enchanting flower. Heinrich's soul consolation and path, cleanse me from my aching sorrows, all my longing thy reward. Trust, all the dream awakens, but no one gives you shelter in the wild haste of life, where you seldom find a home and a poem.
Great read, Gene. Thank you very much. I forgot to tell you up front, the first part is the same as the second part, but the first part was because she writes in German, that was, and even though the translation between translation modules walks a little different tone with each one, that's why she did the first part in German. The second part is often her thoughts as to the what she's trying to convey as the proper translation that she wants to put forth, but they are the same. And she wrote this back classical music. Inspiration taken from Chopin's Tristesse, Mendelssohn's Der Jägerabschied, Bach's Man halte nur ein wenig still, as part of her inspiration, the thought through nature being revolving in this, as well as the art of poetry and music, and how they are conveyed within one's feeling, one's mood, and one's setting. Nicely done there. If I remember Jeffrey. My name is Joanna. Thank you very much. And this is her first entry on one of our shows. So thank you very much.
Right.
And Ben, how about you start us off with a comment?
What I was going to say is, for me, there is a seemingly genuine authenticity in this writing of someone explaining how they were impacted by music. Feels real, that not like someone who's just saying something to say it, but I think it comes across to me that she's really speaking from her heart in this writing, and there's this sincere authenticity that just comes across in all these descriptions of her emotional reaction or spiritual reaction to the sounds and what they do. Beautifully expressed.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ben. And Jean, how about you?
Well, I thought this was really well penned. A wonderful expression of how music touches us all, you know, in a lot of ways. And I thought it was great work. So thank you so much, Joanna, for sharing with us. And thank you for saying what her name was. I know I'm killing that, screaming. Wonderful work.
You're right. That first stanza kind of sets the tone. Softly sound, beloved tone, telling me of delights already as I sensed you in my heart, that it stirred silently in my longing. What does that speak to music can do to a person and they're allowed to convey? And then sort of a lovely thou flowest through the chamber, singing of love, solace, and woe. Cleanse me from my aching sorrows, all my longing thy reward. Great tone of voice and thought. And as you said, Bill, this comes directly from the heart, within the soul itself. So thank you very much, Joanna. We appreciate you stepping in, dropping that for us.
And I especially like the way Joanna, she starts off conveying all of this on a very personal level, but at the end, she makes a point about the world we're in today and how for all of us when the dream awakens, but unfortunately with everything happens now, she says, no one gives you shelter in the wild haste of life where you seldom find a home. I guess it's like she's saying, with everything today, we're not taking time to listen to the music. We're not giving it the shelter because we're distracted by this haste of life. And we need to remember to invite music into our home. That's what I get from her very last stanza, and I think that's a powerful message, especially in the moving from what is happening to her personally and to then take it into something that involves every one of us. That's really
absolutely
neat.
Yes, it is. Excellent, Bill. Thank you very much. And Jean, we're coming back on you.
Okay. Well, Bill, I'm going to ask you to read this next one. It's called A Fish in the Fish. Oh, my word. It's called A Witch's Fantasia by Jack Blue.
Okay, I'm pulling it up.
Okay.
Okay, I see it now. Hold on, let me just scroll down a little. A Witch's Fantasia, number 3. As the sky reverberates with a symphony of hates, as the Piero swings a stick and makes all angels sick, save my lonely violin when its shadows grin. Madness storms everywhere, lingers and begins to glare. In desperate chromatic tones, oh, the sorry stones. Save my bluish violin when the curse is thin. Demons dance as lemons line for illusion's empty shrine and discover something great in the trash of fate. Save my dreamy violin when its tremors spin.
Great read, Bill. Thank you very much. And Jack took the Kreutzer Sonata by Beethoven as his inspiration. And I checked that piece out. It's 38 minutes long, but it's worth a listen. Kind of hits on where he's going. What I get out of this is the symphony. He hits on the note of symphony hates, but he's thinking of the background is the symphony itself, the orchestral notes, the brass and all the other instruments kind of popping out the tones that they do. But the violin is that is because this is a kind of a solo. That violin is the one that sings aloud. Save my lonely violin when its shadows grin. That note to the sounds of music being made. Madness storms everywhere. And then again, save my bluish violin when the curse is thin. He's kind of hitting on notes within the music itself where the violin sings on another note. I like the opening line to this last stanza. Demons dance as lemons shine, a lemon blind for illusion's empty shrine and discover something great in the trash of fate. I like that thought with the demons dance. It had me thinking of Tartini's The Devil's Trill, another masterful piece, usually a 15-minute solo. It's highly emotional, and it's very, very difficult to play. You've got to be a master to play that one. And I thought that was a nice note to the fact that finishing out this, save my dreamy violin when its tremors spin, the note of the ringing notes on the violin and the sounds that one can produce playing this. So I like this, Jack. Thank you very much. And Bill, you got to read it. What about you?
Well, this has excellent rhythm and meter to it. That's the immediate thing that struck out to me. So it made it a really easy read. And, you know, rhythm is kind of an interesting thing that not every writer can pull off, but Jack certainly did with this. The only thing that I guess as a but for me, just in terms of a little confusion, which is something I'm plagued with most days, I didn't understand why in all of the early stanzas were so very clear and overt in understanding, but why then in this very last stanza does it suddenly drift into what for me is almost too much abstraction or obscurity? I didn't understand. I mean, it sounds like an interesting line, but I don't really get demons dancing and lemons lining for an illusion's empty shrine and discover something great. Where is this trash of fate? I guess all I'm trying to say, I'm right now, because I've just read this, I'm trying to understand myself what it is that's troubling me. I guess what it is that everything is so clear early on, and then it deviates. It takes this big shift in the final stanza where there's just so much obscurity that it almost distracts from everything else that came before it. It's some interesting lines, but I just don't get it. And how does this relate to demons dancing as lemons line? And where is illusion's empty shrine? Where is that? What are we really talking about here, Jack?
I think he's following along with part of the, as I said, this was a 38-minute piece, I thought about including, but not at 38 minutes. 2 minutes, 3 minutes I could do. But I think he's taking separate sections and noting how it walks within his thoughts. And the last one is kind of the defining moment where even though he doesn't think much of the background itself as a whole, it's the violin, save my dreamy violin when its tremors spin. So he's noting, he's giving a due course and love for the violin itself, because that's his main piece within this sonata, with all the other background background instruments within the piece itself. So
you just opened a big door for me there, and it occurs to me now that this these references must be relative to the music that is being heard, and it would probably do me well to hear that tune. I mean, I'd like to hear the sound of Damon's dancing and Lemon's lining. I mean, both things sound a little fruity to me, but still.
Well, the reason it compels me
to want to hear the music.
Well, the reason I brought up the Tartini's The Devil's Trill was because he used the demon's dance. So The Devil's Trill is a note to playing that on a violin. It's such a hard piece to do, and you get such great a sound out of it. Even though that was the one thing that Tartini loved out of everything he wrote, that was the one piece he loved the most. But he said he still could not match what he heard in his head when he dreamed of the piece to begin with. And the Lemon's line kind of walks within that same note, but it also kind of points back to the music in the background sound a little off considering what the violin is putting out.
Okay. See, again, you're teaching me things I just did not know, but I'm wiser for it now. Thank you.
You're welcome. Jean, are you back?
I am back. I am. And I'm going to leave my comments in writing out from here to the end. I only got about a half hour. So, Rex, I'm going to put this next piece up for you, and this is by Liquid Fiber, What I'd Say.
All right. What I'd Say by Liquid Mind Forever. Make me feel so good. Make me feel so good. Yeah, yeah. Baby, shake that thing. Baby, shake that thing. Baby, shake that thing. Baby, feel all right. Baby, feel all right. Do me through the night. Hey, man, if you want to get me off my flabby, fat, lazy boy carcass, recite verse. No, rehearse. Be verbose or terse. Turn on Ray Charles and What I Say. Turn on all those sad, shaking, booby-waking 50s ditties. Get this old ditties rocking and a-rolling. Be bopping and a-hopping, a-rocking, robbing and a-stomping. Moving and a-grooving. Going and a-showing. Splish, splash, there's a party going on. I've been there, baby, I rock and roll. The number one hit show of all times, Dick Clark's American Bandstand. I danced with Arlene. I sat on Record Review. I poo-pooed, boo-hooed, and viewed the newest, hottest, slammingest contest heard, America's Teen Request, and knew I was the BESB best above all the rest. Hey, man, you want to see me shake a tail feather? Walk in and make the weather wherever. Turn on the player, soothsayer, collaborator, purveyor. On the way, show-er, go-er, tower, bower, glower, shower. Stand in my way, and I'm on the lawn mower, blowing your hair slick to the quick. Hey, man, get me riled, styled, defiled, dial the big bopper. Hello, baby, this is the big bopper. If I'm lying, dying, crying, sighing, don't give a rat's crass sass. got nothing. You'll get my butt a-moving if we're grooving. Gimme, gimme, gimme some of that old-time rock and roll. Gimme, gimme, gimme some Hank Ballard and the Midnighters. Hey now, it's finger pop, pop, popping time. Finger popping, popping time. Well, it feels good, and that's a real good sign. Here comes Mary. Here comes Sue. Well, hell, man, I'm coming too. And so you would on my deathbed. Send me to Valhalla in a green Cadillac, and I sure hellfire ain't coming back. When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be. See the girl with the red dress on? She know how to do the burlet all night long. Hey, hey, tell me what I'd say. Hey, hey, hun, hun, ah, do it all night long. Yeah, yeah. And boom.
Yeah.
All right, Gene. Thanks. You got dibs on this one.
I think that Deborah did a great job with this. I like how she incorporated so many artists in this piece and how many were reflected here. It just was amazing to me because she was coming in with all these different artists and spinning it together, and she did it so very well. So an excellent excellent take on the tonight's show. I mean, I thought it was a great addition, and it was wonderfully done. So thank you, Deborah, very much. Very much enjoyed it. It was clever.
Excellent. Thank you, Gene. And Bill, how about you?
Yes, I concur with everything just said. It's wonderful. And one of the things I really appreciate, I felt like I was smitten by nostalgia, not only because of all the different artists that are named throughout this piece, but I really appreciated the way that so many stanzas include not just a mention of the performer, but there's lyrics like that.
Yes.
You know, Mother Mary, come to me. As soon as I saw that, it took me back to the Beatles singing Let It Be, words of wisdom. I like how these lyrics are included in all this. See the girl with the red dress on. I read that and I automatically think of Ray Charles, which is a good thing to think about. And, of course, this is titled What I'd Say, What I Say. And, you know, there's an interesting history behind that song that, you know, sometimes bands, right before they start playing for real, they'll just do a little tune session for a minute or two where all the instruments play real quick just to make sure they're tuned or set right before the show begins. It's just considered an introduction, an introductory thing that a lot of bands do, not an actual song. So What I Say by Ray Charles just started off as one of those little things the band does before they start playing. And they were so good, they turned it into its own full-fledged recording, which is really nice. And I appreciate that a lot of this was inspired by Ray Charles. It starts with that and ends with that.
Yep. And she's got a lot of little things in here. Rockin' Robin.
You read it like a rapper. I could almost hear the big bopper in your voice.
I remember that song because he always ran that. Hello, baby. This is the big bopper. And
Chantilly lace with a pretty face and a ponytail hanging down. I'm not going to
wait.
You're only going to hang up the phone on me.
Oh, baby, that's what I like. Yep. When I hit that note, I know where this one's going. Yeah, she dropped a great, and I did like the thought of dropping in that bit from McCartney's Let It Be. Another nice thought dropped in there. And then to finish it off, like you said, starting out with Ray Charles and finishing out on the back end with Ray. So lovely there, Liquid. Thank you very much. That was lovely.
Hey, I want to go to Valhalla in a green Cadillac, too.
Oh my gosh.
All right, Jean, what's next?
Okay, the next piece I'm going to put up is by Kay Bird, and it's called Shuffled Up. I think. Yes, Shuffled Up by Kay Bird. I have it. Okay, here we go. Can't limit myself to a slight one or two. Multiple styles and no less will do. My shuffle comes on with a taste of it all, a classy quartet in a large concert hall. Have you heard Jug and Washboard on the 78? The quality's bad, but the music was great. Jazz, big band, bluegrass, polka, and the blues, rock and roll, or country, whatever you choose. I like heavy metal, some rap, and hip-hop. I'm into flamenco. I do like a doo-wop. I admit foreign hopper is not really my thing. Rather hear Mathis swoon or listen to swing. I'll dance any time to what's playing on stage, snap for the bongos, or sway with the sage. But if I had just one for the rest of my life, a full orchestra, bring the harp, stands, and fifes, and a poem.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. And that did develop quite a bit, considering she's talking about the, I think she says that, in my 100-slot CD player, I have all this and much more. I really do love it all. We never know what will come on next. I swap them out every 4 months or so. Nice there, Kayla. Thank you very much. All right, Bill, what'd you think?
Again, the rhythm in this just makes it something you want to keep reading because you get in the beat and meter of this. That's something I really like, and I enjoy that when I read a lot of good poetry. And the other thing I like is the it's not just the rhyming scheme, but the assonance, which are the sounds that are within the phrases that aren't always obvious rhymes. It's not made to look like a rhyme, but you hear this repetition of certain sounds, which is a cool effect. It helps pull people in, and sometimes in a very unconscious way, because they may not see, it's something separated from the obvious rhyming scheme, which you normally see at the end of sentences that so many people incorporate. But the assonance is this preponderance of sound that that are similar, but not always apparent as rhyming words. They're similar sounds, if that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you, Bill. Mm-hmm. All right, Dean, what'd you think? You got to read it.
I thought it was excellent. I love a good rhyming poem. We all know that. I love the rhyme and the meter here, and it really made me smile as I read it. I thought it was wonderful work. I have to say that the stanza I grabbed, I grabbed this because I really liked how it hit on so many different things. But each stanza was really fun. Have you heard Jug and Washboard on the 78? The quality's bad, but the music is great. Jazz, big band, bluegrass, polka, and the blues, rock, roll, or country, whatever you choose. And that really is it. It doesn't matter what you listen to, as long as it makes you happy. I think it was just, it was just wonderful. So thank you so much for sharing with us tonight, Kayla. That was great.
Absolutely. She does take quite a bit in this from a classy quartet. Like you said, the Jug and Washboard was a nice touch. Then all the thoughts to the music she's got hanging on it, as well, jazz, big band, bluegrass, polka, blues, rock and roll, country, whatever. Then heavy metal, rap, hip-hop. She's got a whole wide variety of whatever to please her mind and what grooves her in the moment. And I like that thought she dropped for, and even though foreign opera is not really a thing, I can hear Mathis swoon or listen to swing. Nice touch there. And I did like the thought, snap for the bongos. There's a kind of note going back to the late 50s and 60s in the coffee shops. You got the bongos going on while you're getting a poet on stage reading. So you got a double thought with that last stanza going in there. And very nicely done, Jay Bird. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Good to you.
Okay, Bill, I have the next one up for you. It's called Votes for Notes by Wichita Rec.
Okay, I'm looking for.
I'm sorry, Rex.
Is this for me you wanted?
No, this one's for Bill. I'm sorry.
Bill, okay. Did we lose Bill?
You got it, Bill? I don't know. Yes, we did. We lost Bill. Would you read that for me, Rex?
Sure. No problem.
Oh,
Votes for Notes by Wichita Rick. Votes for Notes. Choosing one style from an unlimited pile is as hard as a diamond or making a square rock roll. Collective collaborations create unique feelings individually or in community. Music has managed to be heard, not seen. Unlike sights, we are left to feel sounds. Hidden charm inside a subtle tune. Fledgling feelings grow from a base down low, expanding beauty upon a listening soul. Begin life in searches, mystery rhymes to funeral dirges, endless players at constant layers, competition for compositions, adding more jewels to our crown. Today, I am grateful, gatherings of folkies and yokels, expanding our vocals, not yet streaming or screaming like my metalhead friends, newfound freedom gathering ticket stubs by the pocketful. Rockers often scream of taking life to an edge in dispute of which way their soul could pledge, leaving us alone in the lyrics to roam, internal interpretation often shifting each listener's reasoning. Hillbilly humming, solo guitar stunning, a mixed medley I feel fondly, fond of Chet's efficient style, violin or banjo, a sure win, styles changing as I mature. Always searching, feeling for when it is found, limitless vibration, forming vibes within me grooves, given and received. Six sense flowing internally to align mentally. Life in a song is better than trying to maintain without one. It is to the words or sounds I apply, looking outward to keep my mind out of the mire. And poem.
Thank you. Okay. Well, you know, I thought it was a wonderful job here. I think it was nicely planned appreciation of music in all the ways it touches our lives. I like how we started out with the nursery rhymes. And then, you know, from nursery rhymes to funeral dirges, really. Let's think about it. Like, that really is it, isn't it? Just incredible. And I love how he filled in all the spaces in between. You know, I mean, you only write so much. You'd be writing for forever. Trying to encompass everything, but I think he did a wonderful a gathering of what needed. It was a great gathering of things in the middle there, and I think it was just a great job. So I thank you, Rick, for sharing that with us. Wonderful, wonderful work. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nursery rhymes and funeral dirges. Ah, cradle to the grave notes. I like that thought. That last couple of lines. Life in a song is better than trying to maintain without one. It is to the words or sounds I apply, looking outward to keep my mind out of the mire. That note of, listening to music can take away those seeds that might push you over the edge, so to speak. Or when you're feeling blue, it'll take you out of the dumps. The idea of digging into those sounds which make you feel good and bring peace and solace to you. Because he hit that with, to the dead, I am grateful. Gatherings of folkies and yokels expanded our vocals. Now, I like that thought there. The idea of Grateful Dead, great band, a lot of wonderful songs and music in there. And hillbilly humming, solo guitar strumming, a mixed medley I feel fondly, fond of Chet's precision style, violin or banjo of sure wind, styles changing as I mature. Again, that note, you do age. Once you age, you find something else past your youth that you can add to those notes of youth. And as you get older past that, you find more that you can dig into and enjoy. So Wonderfully done there, Rick. Thank you very much. All right.
Okay, bud. Well, I'm going to put this next one up by Blue Leader 1. And I'm going to and it's called I'm on Another Planet with You by Blue Leader 1. I'm walking alone down a long sand beach, all sad and lonely and freezing. I look at the sky and see a billion little frozen bombs glittering. I admit I'm blue and melted to the core, and then I start to imagine being with you on another planet, only us on a whole planet, walking down an alien beach, holding hands, a mystical singular beach where stars burn blue, and I'm with you, all close and cozy, the sky forever beautiful, and only ours. End poem.
Ooh, great read, Gene. I like that. Something a little different. I that note, I see a billion little frozen bombs glittering. That's a nice touch to starlight in the evening sky. And that note in a second, I admit I'm blue and melted to the core, but then I started to imagine being with you. A great thought of her not being there in the moment, but thinking of her brings them back to that moment where everything seems right. And I like that thought, walking down an alien beach, holding hands on this little singular beach where stars burn blue. Again, back to those stars. Nice. I like that. Thank you very much, Blue. What about you, Jane?
You know, I thought there was a great rate. I really liked her take, I assume, on this part of Jerusalem prompt. I've been showing because it's called The Only One. It's another... Oh, gosh, wait, I have to... No, I don't want to do that. I want to do this. It is called... Oh, my God. Why? The Only One's Another Girl, Another Planet. Yes, and I think that she really reflected that well in this. And I thought it was a short and like, kind of a romantic piece, you know, just you and me, you know, a whole other planet. I think it's great. And I don't want to call it a brevity, but I think it really is a brevity in its own way. It says a whole lot and not a whole lot of words. And I think that that being said, she did a great job. Mm-hmm.
All right. We got 8 minutes, so we might be able to get two more in.
Three left. Not too bad.
Okay.
So let's
all right.
The next piece I have for your voice is going to be, if I copy it right. Actually, we only have two. I lied. Two. We can do two. Okay, here we go. This one is for you, Rex, and it is by Peter Saltway.
Okay. When LP's Ruled by Peter Saltway. Round eggs of dinosaurs, music and malls everywhere, squeal of guitars, art for real. Radios without pause, bands to love, albums covert, hit to applause, manly fairy moored. Oh, real estate of boyhood, apartment cliffs, high independence, a life to look forward to, jobs to fix. But Uncle Rex can't come on Jack, sing his Let Out the Anchor song, full and firm. Expect me to sing along, water the lawn, play with rudder, sprinkler. Now CDs from New Guinea, all shrunken trophies of progress, chief with eternal erection, better life there, serpents from Port Moresby. Packing the pothead in like LPs, still rule the orbits again, hits on the moon, crater or digging, when covered big as Sistine ceiling. When thought was live on real love, Liberace in the tub, Bosch above, limestone to have an opening. God, a reason for entering, doom the devil suggesting, wrapped mummy getting indigestion, not happy with Chinese restaurant. Weekend outing no longer working, feels like a con, like moon and beyond, once Peter, Paul, and Mary, Donovan in the sun. iPhones of brief instruction, turn left next corner, right never again, no more stones to sing. No satisfaction, no satisfaction, whirling around the sun, always the same direction. End poem.
Yeah, I thought this was really clever, Rex. I really enjoyed it. I like his references, you know, Peter, Paul, and Mary, Donovan, and the Sun. I like just hit on, you know, Stone's thing and no, you know, Satisfaction. That was great. You know, he's got so much going on here. I'm like, wow, am I missing, you know, stuff? But, you know, what is this? There was one. Is it? Where the hell did it go? I love when I think of something and I can't find it. You know, I like his Uncle Rex reference there. I thought that was pretty good. Let out the anchor song. There was some reference here about CDs. Oh, here, now CDs from New Guinea, all shrunk in trophies of progress. You know, I mean, yeah, CDs. You know, the days of vinyl are so over. And it's a shame because I love the old, you know, vinyl records and what have you. But it is easier to carry them around now, you know. So, it's a give and take thing. You know, but I don't think there's anything like it. Even that little bit of, like, that kind of a sound you got, you know, is the record went around and it hit the needle and you got that little bit of, I don't know, static almost. Just, you know, it made it special. I don't know. Anyway, great piece, Peter, for sure. Yeah.
I think that's the general thought with this. Progress isn't necessarily always progress to the benefit, although with some of the, because you like to hear that pop and hiss and a little click click here and there, because you knew where it came from. Now everything's so pure that it's kind of taken a note out of that which was. We've come a long way with progress. It seems that there's way too much of it, and the idea of going back to when LPs rule, because now they're printing albums again for special orders. The idea of moving back into that realm isn't such a bad thing. This hits on nostalgia too, when things seem to be a little easier without all the fuss, muss, and everything else that comes with it.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, I wish I had a little more time. I'd love to play the song for this one. But for our last poem of the night, and last but never least, I have one by Betty Page. So this is called David Bowie Fine by Betty Page. You're so fine. You're so fine as fuck. Cinnamon sets me ablaze, wickedly amazed. Let's dance all night sweet, for I'm wild and it's the wind who blows, my rebel rebel. Come, rip off my clothes. I'm your China girl. Plaything, your porcelain doll. Come, let's have a ball as the world falls down around us. Bite my juicy peach. Jareth, I'm Sarah. Captivate me with crystals. Move your balls around. Want to be so deep within me. I'm within you. Dance magic, dance sweet. I am a DJ with fame. Seduce vividly. From a life on Mars, you're loving the alien. Blue jean, fine fashion. Entwined, smoking hot, phoenix ashes to ashes, where two become one. Blowing smoke rings high, going for rounds, rounds, and rounds, my moon age daydream. Oh, you pretty thing, the man who sold the world me. Love, my Ziggy Stardust, where did you sleep last night, love? Tangled in my charms, and a poem.
Great reading. Betty's got the hots for David Bowie. And she hits on that Jareth, I'm Sarah, captivate me with your crystals, move your balls around. She went with that, I forget the name of the song, but it came out of, Dark Crystal, I think it was?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was Dark Crystal.
She hits on quite a few of the songs. You got Rebel, Rebel. You got China Girl. Where else? We got Life on Mars. The sort of Ziggy Dust, Ziggy Stardust, and the Creatures from Mars, whatever it was. But also, hey, you throw in something else. Blue Jean. That's got to be.
yeah, this is awesome. I love the use of the titles throughout, and you know, yeah, I think she does have a thing for David, I have to say. I only had a thing for David by the time I got done reading it. I was like, whoa. But, you know, Betty's great. Betty can really work a poem and craft a poem to be seductive. I mean, she did such a wonderful job incorporating these titles and really still making it, you know, seductive in her own way. So great job, Betty, and I did enjoy reading it, so loved it. Thanks for the share. Too cool. Oh.
That thanks us up to the midnight hour. All right. I've got next week's up already. We're going to do another bit of surreality in the lyrics. I've got a Knife Edge by Emerson Lake and Palmer up for next week. And for tonight, great show, Gene. Bill, thank you for coming on board and to read and comment. We appreciate it. And Selena, Robbie, Pee-wee, thank you for the board. We very much appreciate it. And
absolutely.
It's been a wonderful
great
evening.
Show. Great
we'll
show.
See
great
you all
show.
Next Sunday.
Have a great night, everybody. Thank you. Thanks, Rex. It was great. Lots of fun.
Yeah, had a lot of fun.